Last week we started a series on praying for America, and I'd like to continue one more time on this subject today of praying for America. My scripture verse is Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach or a disgrace to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. On May 25th, all of us will remember that day when ex-police officer Derek Chauvin brutally killed a black man that was not resisting arrest. There was a cry for righteous justice that was heard throughout this land. It was a cry that went up from every heart. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, didn't matter what your race or what your background was. Everybody saw clear as day the horrible evil and injustice that was done. Somebody say amen. This should not be in America. This kind of thing should not have happened in America. And so there were peaceful and legitimate protests, but there were also riots and looting and violence. We're in the midst of a worldwide pandemic here in America and, of course, around the world. And this virus has affected every area of our lives. We are a country right now that is troubled. We're deeply divided politically. Yeah. There are people, and we get phone calls all the time, people suffering from depression, isolation, anxiety. Even domestic violence has increased. And the cracks in people's, you know, character have been shown. They say that, you know, trials and troubles will reveal the true nature of what's going on inside of you. It will reveal even the weak spots in our life, and certainly those weak spots have been coming out. America is hurting. America is in trouble, and my heart is also troubled. America needs our prayers. Instead of cursing the darkness, we need to be part of the solution. Somebody say amen. We can shine a light in the midst of darkness. We can make a difference where we are. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Today, I do want to talk about that. I want to talk about what we can do to make a difference. I want to talk about, first of all, the symptoms, the real danger, the real battle that's going on. It's not just a battle out on the streets. It's not just about one area of culture or another, but the real danger is in the hearts and the souls of every man and woman and boy and girl. There is a war right now. There's a battle right now for the hearts of people. The heart is a very delicate and very important part of our lives. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. And there are temptations and there are forces out there, powers and principalities that want us to give up on life, want us to throw in the towel, maybe give up on our marriage, give up on our hope, just get filled with despair, get filled with hatred, and react like we shouldn't react and make bad decisions. But I'm telling you that the real problem is the heart of man. We have a sin problem. Somebody say amen. We have a sin problem in America. I want to tell you, I've been doing a little research this week. I want to tell you the story about the Liberty Bell. How many of you know about the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia? How many of you have seen the Liberty Bell? Anybody have seen it? Okay, you guys have. You're from Pennsylvania. The Liberty Bell, with the scripture on it, that is from Leviticus 25, says this, right on the bell, it says these words. It says, proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there and all the inhabitants therein. Proclaim freedom throughout the land. The Liberty Bell was originally made on the 50th made to commemorate the 50th anniversary of William Penn's Charter of Privilege. This was a document that William Penn put together 50 years before the Liberty Bell, and it was a framework for freedom for the people of Pennsylvania. It was a charter guaranteeing government by elected representatives for all people. So it was quite a unique document. It was amazing because up until that time, there were kings and rulers and despots and monarchs, and there weren't any real governments that were by the people and for the people. Somebody say amen. And it was tradition holds that the bell was rung on July 8th, 1776, when the first reading of the Declaration of Independence was read publicly. Over the years, the Liberty Bell has become a symbol to our entire country, honoring the God-given value of freedom for all people. It wasn't originally called a Liberty Bell. It was just a bell that hung in the State House, and it was around 1837 when a group of abolitionists, a group advocating freedom from slavery, adopted the Liberty Bell as a symbol of their movement. Isn't that interesting? It was in 1837, a group called an abolitionist group from New York who published a document with the Liberty Bell on it, calling it the Liberty Bell for the very first time. Isn't that interesting that it was people who had felt marginalized and people who had felt oppressed that embraced this bell as a Liberty Bell to remind the United States that freedom belongs to every people. Freedom belongs to you regardless of race, color, or creed. Every one of us deserves to live free. In the Liberty Bell. How many of you know the Liberty Bell has a fracture? It's so interesting because when it was first made and sent over from England, the first time they rang it, it cracked. The very first time they rang it, it cracked. So they actually melted it down and remade it again. And it cracked again. And believe it or not, they tried different metals and the composition of the, you know, the metal with tin and bronze and iron and all of these things, and they didn't quite get it right. So no matter how many times they made it, the Liberty Bell kept cracking, and it's still fractured today. So it was at least three or four times that they tried to get it right. And I thought about that, and I thought for a second, isn't that interesting? It's kind of symbolic of the fact that even with our best dreams and hopes and aspirations, there's sometimes a brokenness in our lives. It's kind of symbolic, in a way, of our human nature, that all of us have a brokenness. All of us have a propensity to sin. And so I think it's not only a symbol of freedom, but it's also a reminder that the truest freedom of all cannot come from the land. It has to come from heaven. Hallelujah. The only one capable of changing the human hearts and making us truly free is the Lord God Almighty. Jesus said these words, "It's from the heart of men that evil thoughts come." From the hearts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander all come from the heart of man. Jeremiah said that the heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? It's capable of the worst things. You can turn on the news and see the validity of that scripture every night as you watch the news. And you could pass all the laws and reforms, and they are needed, and they're good, and thank God for passing good laws. Somebody say amen. But passing laws does not make people all of a sudden embrace goodness. It doesn't all of a sudden make people full of love and full of purity and full of truth. It takes a supernatural interaction with the Holy Spirit of God to change us from within. How many of you can testify this morning that when Jesus came into my heart, I got a new heart? When Jesus came into my life, I got a new heart. Hallelujah. I was thinking about Saul of Tarsus. He was a devout man, a religious man. He wasn't a drug addict. He wasn't an alcoholic. He wasn't a wife beater. He wasn't a bank robber. He was a Pharisee. He was a devout religious man, but he believed that his way was right and everybody else was wrong. And he went about persecuting the church, persecuting Christians. He was full of rage. He was full of a hatred towards them. And he was actually complicit not only in their arrest, but in the killing of many Christians. This is the man who, when God got a hold of his heart, hallelujah, wrote more than half of the New Testament. He is proof of the fact that you can be a good person, a religious person, and miss the point by a mile. You can miss God by a mile. He was transformed on the road to Damascus. He had an encounter with Jesus. And that's what we need in this country. That's what I'm praying for. I pray that no matter what else happens in this country, I'm not sure how the election will go. I'm not sure how politics will go. I'm not sure about the virus. But one thing I am sure, that God has a plan for my life. Hallelujah. God has a plan for your life. Hallelujah. And it's a good plan. God has a vision for you. Behold, the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, plans to prosper you and to give you a future and a hope. If you seek me, he says, you will be found of me. Paul the Apostle, this same man who was transformed on the road to Damascus, wrote these words to the church. He said, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away and a new life has begun. The nation of Israel had to learn the same thing America has to learn, that it's righteousness that exalts a nation. As long as Israel kept on turning away from God, and I don't have the time this morning to go over so many examples there are in the Bible, but you can read in the book of Deuteronomy and in Chronicles and other places, 1 and 2 Kings, how many times when Israel was prospering and they were doing so well, then they would turn their backs on God and they would follow the idolatry of the nations, the pagan nations around them. They would get involved in pleasure seeking and in sin and disregarding God, just being indifferent to God. And then the enemies would come against them. And they would be oppressed and they would be decimated. They would steal their crops. They would kill their women and cause them to become enslaved. And then they would cry out to God in their bondage and in their brokenness. They would cry out to God and God would hear their plea and he would send a deliverer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He would send somebody to deliver them. And they would be free for another period of years, like maybe 40 years or something. And then they would turn their backs again on God and forget God. Is it possible that America has been forgetting God? Somebody say amen this morning. Abraham Lincoln said these words a number of years ago. If I have it here, I'm sorry, I don't have it here, but I'm just going to sort of summarize what he said. And this was actually written for a Thanksgiving celebration, believe it or not. Abraham Lincoln said that in all of our prosperity, in all of our success, have we forgotten God? And maybe these terrible calamities that have come upon us is because we have forgotten God. We've got to learn what George Washington said from the very beginning. I quote, "It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible." That's George Washington, the founder of our country. John Adams, our second president and one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, he said these words, "It is religion and morality alone that can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue." In other words, he understood that it was the heart of man that needed to be dealt with. You could pass all the laws you want to. You can make the laws as harsh and as restrictive as possible, but that's not going to change people's hearts. That's like saying to somebody, you know, in a marriage, you know, if you don't love me, I'm going to beat you up. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. You cannot force a person to love you. God is not looking for our devotion to him by force. He's looking for our free given heart, our will. He's looking for us to devote ourselves to him because we love him, just like the song we sang just a moment ago. Yeah. President John F. Kennedy, in his presidential speech, in his inaugural address on January 20th, 1961, said these words, "I believe that the rights of man do not come from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God." Yeah. True freedom comes from the hand of God. Jesus said, "Whoever sins is a slave to sin." Woo! Do you know that sin will enslave you? You will become mastered by whatever you give into. If you give into bad thoughts all the time, you give into your anger, you give into jealousy, you give into revenge, guess what? You're going to be a very nasty person. But instead, you say no to sin and you say yes to the Holy Spirit, And you say, God, I need your help. I'm running out of love. God, I'm running out of patience. I've been there many times where I felt empty inside. I didn't feel like I had inherently all the goodness inside of me that I needed. But aren't you glad that God allows downloads? Hallelujah. You can ask for a download from heaven. God will put more patience in your life. God will give you more wisdom if you ask. God will give you the ability to forgive those who have hurt you. Hallelujah. I'm looking at our sister Diane in the back. What a tremendous testimony she gave one time about forgiveness. God bless you, Diane. Only God can do that. Only God can change Saul of Tarsus, a terrorist. Today we would actually call him a terrorist because he would be going from church to church, persecuting and arresting people and shutting down churches, into a man of God who so loved Jesus that he was willing to die for Jesus, willing to die for him. The same Jesus he was persecuting, now he was living for him. Hallelujah. You see, when we signed the Declaration of Independence from Britain's oppressive king, we did not sign a declaration of our independence from God, but our dependence on God. The documents, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and even the Bill of Rights talk about the Creator, our God, and our dependence on the providence of God Almighty. These documents cannot be erased. As much as people want to revise American history, God is throughout American history. He's written all over American history. He is. You just can't deny it. We are not declaring independence from God. We are saying, like George Washington, it's impossible to have a clean heart. It's impossible to have a good heart. It's impossible to love my brother, to love my sister, without a heart that's been changed by Jesus. A pure heart is what he can give. Righteousness, according to what God sees. Righteousness exalts a nation. And being right in the eyes of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added. Is God first in your life today? Is he in the center of your life? Do you love Jesus? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? If tonight you were to stand before God, if this was your last day on earth, would you have missed something? Would you leave this earth without the knowledge and the assurance that you have trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? There is no one else given among men. The Bible says there is no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name except the name of Jesus that can save you. You're not saved by your good works. You're not saved because you go to church every week. We want you in church, yes. And you're not saved because you're nice. You're not saved because you give to the poor. You're saved because you trust what Jesus did for you on the cross. He was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including my sins and your sins. When you confess your trust in him, God accepts that faith that you have in Christ as your salvation. That's what makes you right with God. The just treatment of all people will never happen by education. Those things are good. Education is good. Good laws, reforms, those are all good things. But here's what Micah the prophet said. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. Wow, what a statement. What a challenge to live like this. Wouldn't this be wonderful, Brother Andrew, if we all lived like this? To do justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. You see, I love this because it blends mercy and justice. We need both. If you're just praying for justice, be careful, because if God was 100% just, he would find all of our faults and we would be banished. But we don't just need the justice of God. We need the mercy of God. Hallelujah. At least I know I do. We need the mercy of God, because mercy can cover our sins. Jesus said these words. I mentioned it before. The greatest freedom, the ultimate freedom. And you will know the truth, Jesus said in John chapter 8. And the truth will set you free. The Jewish people were arguing with Jesus and said, we are descendants of Abraham. Who do you think you are? We have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say you will be set free? They were very offended. They were very insulted. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Hallelujah. You are truly free. In other words, he was saying, no matter how religious, no matter how good you are, no matter how righteous you feel you are in your own life, in your own eyes, all of us, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none of us who are righteous in ourselves. That's why God sent his Son to be our righteousness. Like the song says, he is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. Hallelujah. Yes, all men are created equal. Originally made in the image of God, but all men are also marred by sin. There's a fracture in the Liberty Bell. There's a brokenness. There's a part of us that's broken. Somebody say amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all of us can be redeemed by the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is willing to love you this morning, to take you into his heart, to take you into his family, if you will simply bow your head and acknowledge him and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I want to be your follower. I accept the fact that you died for my sins, that you paid the price that I could never pay, that it's your righteousness that I trust that's going to take me all the way to heaven. Hallelujah. 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 True liberty, true freedom is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you know the story of John Newton. How many of you have heard the song Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. Probably one of the most famous songs of all times. Everybody knows the words, at least the first verse anyway. Right, Brother Angel? At least the first verse. But this man who wrote this song didn't start off being an inspirational songwriter. He started off as a slave trader. He was a very wicked man. He was involved in trafficking of human lives. And he admitted himself, he says, I was one of the worst. He committed so many sins, he probably saw slaves who were shackled and trying to, whatever they doing, rowing or starved and dying in front of him and could care less. This was a man with a very hard heart, with a wicked heart. But you know, the grace of God is greater than our sin. The grace of God is greater than our sin. There was a man, I read a book one time about a man who was considered an incorrigible prisoner. He had been to jail so many times. His name was Jerry Graham. And there's a ministry called Prison Ministry, I think it was called. They sent me the book. And nobody could help this man. He would just go out and commit one crime after another, throw him back in jail. Finally, he was in jail for a long time. And these Christians, well-meaning Christians, in this, not a big city, it was a small city, actually, would go and visit him. And this is really funny. You have, on one side of the bars, you have this hardened criminal, you know, who knows the streets and is a real thug. Everybody say, a thug. Don't be a thug. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a thug. And on the other side, you have these church ladies, you know, knowing a few scriptures, a few verses from the Bible, and they would go and visit, and he would laugh at them. He would even curse them out. He would spit at them. He would do things to try to embarrass them, say things that were very racy and very off color just to embarrass these people. But after so many times of coming back and coming back and coming back, and they kept telling him, Jerry, no matter what you say and no matter how hard you feel, no matter how much you hate us, Jesus loves you. And that man finally broke down in tears and got on his knees and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and became a chaplain, became a man of God, because those simple, loving people kept telling him, Jesus loves you, hallelujah, no matter what. Jesus loves you this morning. And God is calling us to godly action. The answer for racial problems, the answer for the pandemic, the answer for marital problems, relationship problems, is to love people with the love of God. Love them more. Love them more than their sin. Love them more than their bitterness. Love them more than the nasty words they said. I'm not saying be a doormat if somebody's hurting you, somebody's abusing you. You don't have to stay in that situation. I always have to give that little, a disclaimer. Thank you. My wife is helping me preach right now. But listen, love is the greatest power in the universe. Love. Love is the greatest power. If you can keep on loving people. I've been saying this on Wednesday nights in our prayer requests. Go out and find somebody who's different than you. Intentionally reach across the aisle, so to speak, or reach across the cubicle, or wherever you work, or wherever you live. Find a neighbor who looks different than you, who perhaps even has a scowl on their face or seems mean, and just let them know. Stay 6 feet apart. Yes, I know we have to do that right now. But let them know that God loves them. Give them a piece of literature. Give them a Bible. Pray for them. Take their name down. Find out if they have any prayer requests. Is there anything in your family I can pray about? Do you have any spiritual beliefs? There are so many ways you can start a conversation. I've been praying for this neighborhood. I'd love to pray for you. Can you give me anything that you would like us to pray about? Do you have any trust in God? What do you think about what's happening right now? You know, start a conversation. Do some good deeds. Bring somebody some food. Give them, my son-in-law told me something so beautiful the other day. He was online at Target, and he was getting some groceries, and somebody behind him paid for his entire grocery bill, just anonymously. And when he went to give the guy the money, you know, the cashier the money, he said, this gentleman just paid for your whole bill. And I just thank God for things like that. A random act of kindness can get somebody's attention. Amen? Yes, America is hurting. Yes, America is broken. Yes, America is in a very, very dangerous place. But the prayers of the righteous, hallelujah. The prayers of the righteous, hallelujah. Somebody get excited with me. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective, hallelujah. And our prayers can push back the powers and principalities. Our prayers can push back the darkness that's in America. And our love for people, one by one. We can love people one at a time, hallelujah. Can transform the Saul of Tarsus, can transform the Jerry Graham, the Nikki Cruz. No matter how bad, no matter how racist, no matter how evil a person is, the grace of God is greater. Hallelujah. The grace of God is greater than my sin. Hallelujah. It's greater than our brokenness. Hallelujah. For any man or any woman who has a relationship with Christ Jesus is a new creation. A new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. Amen. Let's stand together. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Brother Angel, would you come back? And you know what song I'm going to pick, right? Here I am, Lord. Here to show you, Lord, that I'm presenting my life to you once again. I want to make a sacrifice, Lord. I'm not showing off. I don't have a lot of money. I may not have a lot of education. I may not even be popular. But I have a life that I can give to you. Hallelujah. God could use any life that is truly surrendered to him. The little boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes is now known throughout the world because he gave his lunch to Jesus. Hallelujah. He still remembered. The woman who had a very bad life, a woman of the streets, came and brought her alabaster. Hello? brought her alabaster jar to Jesus. She poured out her ointment upon his feet and upon his hair. And Jesus said that what this woman has done for me is beautiful. I love the word Jesus said. What she has done for me is beautiful. And it will be remembered throughout the ages. So give your heart, give your life to Jesus, all right? If you ask me for an offering, I'd bring it. If you want a sacrifice, I would obey. Let this be your consecration.
But my life is all I have, and I will live it.
Amen. Dedicated to the honor of your name. Gladly, gladly will I bow down as your servant. I want to make a difference, God. Gladly will I wait for your command. How many of you want to make a difference with your life? Raise your hand.
I commit
my trust to you, for you deserve it. I delight within the guidance of your hand. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, and I long to do your will. Here I am, I follow your command. Here I am, until my calling is fulfilled. Here I am, here I am. I want us to sing this once more, but before we do, whether you're at home watching or here in our auditorium, we're going to bow our heads right now, and I'm going to ask you to join me in a simple prayer. If you're not sure in your heart, if you were to stand before God right now or tonight or tomorrow morning, stand before God. And God will ask you the question, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? Would it be, well, I've been a good person. I've been religious. I've tried to do good deeds. Those are all commendable things. But there's really only one right answer. The answer is, I have trusted you, Jesus, to be my salvation. I have trusted God and his Son, Jesus Christ, as the Savior from my sins. I believe my sins have been covered by his blood. I believe that he has made me righteous because of his love for me, and I have put my faith in Jesus. That's the right answer. I have put my faith in Jesus. So we're going to pray right now, then we'll sing the song again, okay? I want you to, and Pastor Angela, you come up if you would. We're going to say this prayer together for everyone. You might have said it maybe 100 times, but it doesn't hurt to say it again, all right? Dear Jesus, say it with me. Dear Jesus, I open my heart to you. I realize, Lord, that I have sinned. And that my sin separates me from God. But I also know today that Jesus, you came into this world to save sinners. And you sacrificed your life, your perfect life, as an offering that God accepts on my behalf. I put my trust, I put my faith in you, Lord Jesus. You are the Son of God. You died on the cross. You were buried. And you rose on the third day. And now I am justified by your life, not my own. I trust your righteous blood to save me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Come on, let's sing it again from the top. Amen. If you ask me for an offering, I give it. If you want a
sacrifice, I would obey.
Happy birthday if you just gave your heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Dedicated to the honor of your name.
gladly will I bow down. Gladly will I bow down as your servant. Gladly
will I wait
for your command. I commit my trust to you, for you deserve it. I delight within the guidance of your hand. Let this be your personal prayer to God.
And I long to do your will. Here I am.
Let it come from your heart this morning. Hallelujah.
Here I am until your calling is fulfilled. Here I am. Here I am.
One more time.
Here I am, and I long to do your will. Here I am.
I'll follow you.
God has a good plan for your life.
Here I am until my calling is fulfilled. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor Angela's going to pray in a second here, but if you prayed with us, you prayed with me the first time, I want to say happy birthday to you.
Amen.
Because the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Hallelujah. You have invited Jesus into your heart. If you need a Bible, we can give you one. If you're here in the auditorium, you need a Bible in English or Spanish, we have New Testaments. Brother Lanre, wave to the folks if you would. He will give you a copy of the New Testament. Or you could drive through, and we'll give you one right here at our location. Or you could call 407-438-6100. Thank you so much for being with us today.
You know, before we close, I'd really like us to just take a moment of reflection. You know, for those who've already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we still need to obey what this message told us today. Pastor said to reflect upon who God might bring in your life that's different than you, to minister to or to do an act of kindness in the Lord's name. You know, the Lord said, even if a cup of water, even if a cup of water is given in my name, I will bless you for it. You're doing it to me. So, you know, in this world, sometimes it seems crazy. Things that we do in kindness or for others are not reciprocated. That's all right. God is watching. And God can use the smallest things, like these precious ladies who took the time to visit an incorrigible prisoner. But God knows. God's word is so powerful. So let's just take a moment, and as I pray, just reflect on it. I'm going to do the same thing. Lord, what is it that you want me to do in your name this week? To make a difference. To be your hands extended. To be your feet. To be your voice of encouragement. And in some cases, to quiet my mouth. For me, sometimes I have to shut up. Sometimes I have to be quiet and let the Lord work. Whatever it is, Lord, we're saying, here we are. Lord, Pastor said that this was your response to the Father prophetically, here I am.
Yes.
But now, Lord, we say to you, here we are.
Yes.
I put myself, Lord, here I am. Lord, I want to fulfill my calling, not just the bigger part of it, Lord, but even in the smallest things, Lord, may my heart be obedient to you. Are you agreeing with me in prayer right now? If you are, God knows. You don't have to show me. God knows. Lord, I want to be obedient to you, even to the smallest thing. And God says, whoever is faithful in the little things, I will give them more.
Yes, yes, yes.
Some of you are looking for a big ministry, a big thing. And God is saying, but you haven't even done the last thing I've asked you to do, that small thing. I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to anybody else. But if it fits, if the shoe fits, please wear it. Lord, we just dedicate ourselves to you and your service, knowing, Lord, that it's not about us. It's not the small thing we do, but it's about a great, big, awesome, powerful, mighty, life-changing Savior. Hallelujah. That, Lord, as long as we allow you to come through us, God, that you can do with no eye has seen or no ear has heard, Lord. And we commit this to you. Bless the people as they go. Bless those in the audience here and those listening. We bless you in the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.